here on the air, Wednesday, June the 9th, 2021, anniversary eve, 18 minutes past the hour. Tomorrow is the 7th anniversary of WWGH Radio. The big party kicks off tomorrow night, 7:15, here on the air, running till 9 o'clock. Supported by Domino's Pizza, telephone number 740-383-3030, and the L&P Cake Shop, telephone number 740-382-1991. Tomorrow night, I'll be here, Angie Ever, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Adam Lepp, Linda Sims, Pastor Whitaker, Nate Redman, Glenn Coble, and Pastor Craig, the whole bunch. Guest stars tomorrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, all in studio tomorrow night for this big event. And it's also my understanding Jeannie Evers will be here with Angie, which will be a lot of fun. And we will also have possibly some other guests that we'll learn more about maybe tomorrow. So away we go, Glenn. Here we are. 7 years.
Is Santa Claus coming?
No, that's the other party.
Oh, okay.
That's the Christmas party.
Hey, I was listening to your show, I really believe the only reason why people ever went to see Dirty Dancing was because of the girl had great legs and Swayze had a good butt. And that's the only reason why anybody go to that show.
But does the movie have any redeemable value?
It's kind of fun, I guess. It's kind of lighthearted. And, you know, movies are, you know, I studied to be an actor. And I really would have given anything to be Patrick Swayze in that movie. I mean, you know, just for fun. But a lot of movies don't have a whole lot of plot. Now, there is one movie I will guarantee you everybody in this city knows the plot to. The Ten Commandments.
Yeah, you couldn't mess that one up. But you know what's funny about that? If that really is what the reason people went to see that movie, here's what's fascinating to me about that. And I know what the answer will be, so I'll give you the standard answer. But I will also tell you why I think that is the standard answer is a blow-off. If it really is about the looks of Patrick Swayze, okay, all these people who are saying that, if you look at who they're married to or who they date, nothing like Patrick Swayze. Now, the standard answer will be, well, we can't get Patrick Swayze or anybody who looks like him. But that's not necessarily true. It really isn't necessarily true at all. You could find somebody, everybody goes to the gym now, everybody does their thing. If that's really why you're watching it, you could find somebody similar to Patrick Swayze, not these people you marry or date or so on and so forth. So I just don't know if that's the movie.
I'm not good at determining whether males are good-looking or not. I mean, I think I know.
But is it good-looking?
I don't think what you said
are traits.
I don't think he's good-looking at all, quite frankly.
No, but the caller, I believe, said abs. And
yeah.
You're saying caboose. Those are not face.
No. But he does have both.
Right, okay, well...
But you can get those from the gym.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the people who love this movie, their husbands, boyfriends, neither have both of those.
I've never seen anybody that looked like Patrick Swayze.
That's all I'm saying, Glenn.
I don't think he's handsome at all.
Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you doing this
morning?
Hey, I was listening and hear that you're going to have the big celebration tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I might drop by if I have time.
Oh, do.
Excellent.
Would that be all right?
Please do.
He can't make my show, but he's going to come to your thing.
Well, I'll be done with my meeting in Malabar and should be home by around 6:30. So
cool.
I thought if you're not starting your kicking your party off until 7:15, I might be able to make that.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
At least the back half of it. I was going to call you yesterday morning, Scott, and every time I tried, I couldn't get through. But you were talking about, you know, things happening late at night, you know, incidents happening.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that because when I was with the Highway Patrol Auxiliary, I used to work the midnight shift, and I requested the midnight shift for a couple of reasons. Number one, I worked during the day. And number two, that's when all the activity occurred.
So you wanted to get in on it?
Well, yeah.
You're crazy.
Absolutely.
Well, what's the reason?
And the same thing when I was on the auxiliary at the police department up in Wyandotte County. All the activity occurred between the hours of 11 and 3 in the morning. So that was a fun time to be out because that's when you had bar fights and
is it the alcohol that
well, I
does
mean,
that
it fuels it, yes.
Yeah.
And of course DUIs. We always got a lot of DUIs
that sounds
between 1:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, I really enjoyed that time of working as an officer.
He's the saddest.
Well, it's interesting to me because I understand the alcohol part of it, but why do domestics happen at night? Why do murders happen at night? Why do these things happen at night and never?
Well, I wish I had an answer for that. But you're absolutely correct. Statistics will show that most violent crimes of that nature do occur between the hours of, say, 9 o'clock and 5 in the morning. So I don't know why it is. I think alcohol does play a significant role in a portion of it, but not always.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it has something to do with the phases of the moon and people's anger. I don't know. But interestingly enough, that's when most police officers and people in law enforcement will tell you things occur. And also, when there's a full moon, activity
really?
Goes up.
Huh.
Activity goes up during full moon cycles, and that's not necessarily just in violent crime, but also you'll find that if you talk to people that work in nursing homes and hospitals, their activity increases a lot during full moons.
Well, I'll be tired.
Especially psychiatric
hospitals.
Hospitals.
Well, we almost had an incident two nights ago at the Coble House.
Really?
Yeah, still running on. We're not talking to each other. No, it wasn't.
Well, Fred, I hope you're able to stop in tomorrow night. That'd be a lot of fun.
I'm going to try to. And Glenn and I are planning a future show to talk about movies, and we're going to go back as far back as either one of us can remember, and maybe beyond that, because I'm a big fan of Turner Classic Movies and a big fan of the movies that were created in the 30s and 40s. So we're going to make a show out of that probably next month. I can't make it this month. We've got family things going on.
From that period, I tell you, Manchurian Candidate, what a movie.
That's a great movie. Big movie.
My goodness.
And the gal that played Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good in that. And, you know, she was a beautiful woman.
She was.
When she was younger. She started making movies, I think, as early as the mid-30s. But
a little bit like Judith Dench.
What's that?
A little bit like Judith Dench.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
both of them weathered well, but they were much better looking young.
And, of course, I'm a big fan of John Wayne, and every time there's a John Wayne movie on, I'm going to watch it. I did see a good one on Sunday, I think it was. It was on PCM. Mr. Deeds Goes to Town with Gary Cooper, another one of my favorite movies.
Wouldn't you say, though, and I know people would disagree because a lot of these movies still show and people still watch them and people still buy them, but wouldn't you say the movie, and it didn't make the most money of that period, but the movie that still resonates and kids today will watch it is The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, absolutely. And Glenn and I were talking about this the other day. 1939, when The Wizard of Oz came out, that was the most spectacular year for movies that Hollywood ever produced.
Yeah.
There were at least a dozen that were absolutely blockbusters, not just in what they made financially, but in what they did to the future of movies in this country. And I was telling Glenn, 1939, Gone with the Wind also came out that year. Lloyd Brumfield wrote a movie wrote a screenplay that was turned into a movie that came out that year also called The Rains Came. And that was an Oscar winner as well. So Wizard of Oz got to rank in the top 10 of all time.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was watching, maybe it was because of the year they were made, but I was watching a comparison one time about why Wizard of Oz has held up and Gone with the Wind has not so well. And and people said that the Wizard of Oz has nothing dated in it.
Right.
That you could make that today.
Right. It's a fantasy that works forever.
Yeah. And that Gone with the Wind, even though it's about a certain period of American history, it's black and white, and it also, there is some dated references and things in that movie. Wizard of Oz deals with nothing but the imaginary, and that you could make that movie today with the same script without changing a word.
Sure. Well, and of course, a shoot-off from that was the stage play Wicked.
Oh, Wicked, absolutely.
I saw that in Chicago a number of years ago, and again, that's something that can tie in, that can be used indefinitely. So, yeah. But look forward to stopping tomorrow night if I get a chance. And now you're out on Prospect now, right?
523 South Prospect,
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to do my best to try to stop and say hi. Had a real nice conversation with, and I got a chance to meet with Jeannie during our lunch with the president. She came that day.
Good.
And so that was a real pleasant occurrence to have her in the audience. And we mentioned Charlie during our during my welcome and so forth. And it was, you know, I told Jeannie, I said, I like listening to Charlie's shows whenever I can catch them. The only problem I have is I'm always wanting to call him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, I was saying the other day, because I ran into Marilyn, Martha Dowse's daughter, and I said, Charlie and Martha, who we both lost last year, they need places in the Historical Society, and I hope some of their stuff is given to the Historical Society, because as time goes on, the longer these people are gone, it tends to disappear.
That's true. That's absolutely true. In fact, Jeannie has some things of Charlie's that she's going to be donating. We talked about it again at the luncheon here last week. And over the years, Charlie has given me a number of things that have been turned over to the Historical Society as well. You know, if it wasn't for Charlie and his forethought, we wouldn't have the building we're in, because that was initially his idea.
Oh, my.
To buy the post office. And, of course, at the time, a lot of people, including people on the board at the time, looked at him and said, we'll never fill that up. We'll never fill that up. And we have over 40,000 items in the archives now, and we are, well, we have already run out of room to store things. So
I'm searching around through my house. I promised to give the Historical Society a bow tie that Orville Redenbacher wore.
Yes, right. You mentioned that.
I still can't find it, but that'd be perfect.
To the popcorn.
Sure would. Yeah.
And we just had an executive board meeting last night, and we were talking about visitors starting to come back to the museum. Of course, last year was detrimental to a lot of museums, especially ours.
Yeah.
And Brandy was saying that our daily admissions are picking up, and if for no particular reason, I think people just want to get out, and I think people want to renew their connection with Marion County's history.
Yep.
We not only get, of course, people from Marion, but we get people from all over the world. Primarily, they come to see the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum, and then they're very interested to know that they're getting another museum included with it.
Yeah.
So, we encourage people locally to come to the museum, because like I always tell people, you may have been to the museum before, but our main exhibit changes every year. So we always something different in there.
Yeah.
Always something different.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Hey, guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye, Fred.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing, you know, losing both Martha and Charlie last year, I really do hope that some of their, because people like clothes, people like artifacts, and I hope that with both of them, they make it over to the Historical Society and can be on display forever and ever.
Did you realize that Gone with the Wind was also in 1939?
I think Fred said that.
Oh, I didn't hear
him. I think he did.
Never mind.
So here we are, movies.
Movies.
You wanted to point out a movie that you thought was good.
No, I pointed out the movie that I thought everybody knew. The
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought there was another one that you, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie probably would be one that nobody ever watches. Well, I have two. And they're both of a similar genre, which people would call crazy. Barbarella and Flash Gordon. I love both of those
movies.
Yeah, because they're just so far out.
Well, if anybody,
and I love the music.
Oh, well, not bad. If anybody has anything to say about movies, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. And don't forget, we do have the big anniversary party tomorrow night, 7:15 until 9 p.m. Something went flying down my throat there. I don't know what that was.
It was a fly. Don't worry
about it. It was a fly. I inhaled a fly.
I saw a fly. There was a fly in there last week just buzzing me all the time. I bet it was that fly. You
but
got
don't, do you get the idea of where we were? With if people really watch the Dirty Dancing movie for Patrick Swayze's looks, why do they not try to find somebody to marry who looks like him?
Well, I don't know that they don't, but, you know, it's like saying that you love the movie, I don't know, Gone with the Wind, so that now you have to go out and find somebody that looks like...
No.
Grant.
Because but you're telling me this is why people watch the movie. I think people watch Gone with the Wind because they like the movie.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. Another movie I like is called Them, and it's about radiated ants. And I never did find a radiated ant that I thought was good looking.
You know what I was going to ask you, off top, but tonight's, you know, Vax-a-Million Part 3.
Oh, yeah.
What did you make last week of the, how should I say this, the winners being Skyped in during Mike DeWine's Thursday press conference?
Well, it was a little self-serving.
Which, if I go back in time now, I think somebody said on this station.
I think so.
Yes, that this was really not about vaccinations.
But it has made vaccinations go up.
Okay, I have a question about that. And this is an honest, serious question, okay? There were two stories yesterday. Two stories in the paper this week. Number one was how vaccinations have went up. And number two was, everybody needs to get vaccinated right now because they're about to expire. And they're not being used.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How can those be concurrent stories?
Why couldn't they?
Well, if you're driving the vaccination rate at 40%, which is what he's saying, how can you have all these doses? We're never going to... Nobody ordered 100% doses. How can we possibly... At week number three, there's only 2 weeks left in this, have all these leftover doses?
You'll have to ask him. I really have no idea. It sounds like bad planning to me.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. It clearly, and we're still not at 50%.
But, Vax-a-Million, you laughed at me when I said it sounded like a robot, I said I thought the movie was Black Hole, and you laughed at me again. It was Black Hole where Maximilian was.
Yeah, but now 3 weeks in.
Yeah. Okay.
What do we
we're
have
going
to
back
say?
To this,
well, because you kept saying we have to wait, we have to wait, we have to wait. Well, we're more than 50% into this now.
Well,
and also that press conference last week, I think turned a lot of people off.
Well, I didn't watch it. I never watch.
Just the fact
those press conferences.
Just the fact that he did that.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I guess he's trying to hype it, and that's what he should do if he really wants to use the PR value of doing what they've done. You've got to hype it, otherwise nobody knows what's going on. I have a lot of friends.
Nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, if you don't hype it, I had a lot of friends that would. I would say, what are you doing to promote your product? Well, we're telling people on our Facebook. Well, that's not really hyping it. That's not really telling the world how wonderful it is. And you got to tell a lot of people to get a tiny response. You really do.
But do you really believe that people in Ohio at this point, after 2 weeks of it, don't know what's going on?
I think they do. I think there are a lot of people in Ohio that are refusing to get these shots based on politics.
Right. So what would bringing them in this press conference do to hype that?
Yeah. You know what we need to do?
What's that?
We need to do what Washington, state of Washington is doing. Give you a free dose of marijuana.
Yeah, I read about that. But, you know,
there would be young people tuning in, running down
know,
there.
What's fascinating is all these things are coming up. I'm hearing that if the country gets to 70%, a round of drinks are going to get bought for everybody. And
from whom?
Was it Anheuser-Busch? It might have been.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So all this is going on in millions of dollars.
Okay.
No, but all this free stuff, and it's not really, I don't see any big... dense.
We're getting more and more and more and more people vaccinated.
Well, then they better stop running these stories on the news every night that it's going up in teenagers, and you gotta get them in there and get them vaccinated, and the vaccinations are about to spoil because they've been here too long and not enough people are getting them. Well, if these prices are working, we shouldn't be having this problem.
No, I think you're going to have that problem because they ordered way more than we were ever going to use. I think.
I just, at this point, I think you just have got to cut the losses on this thing. And you've got to say, people know what the illness is. People know the risks of it. People know that the vaccination is available free. That I don't think, you could live under a rock and you would know that now. It is now your decision.
Your assumption is that people are smart. And as proof of where we are right now in Arizona's counting of ballots that have already been counted three times, and people are not smart. They're doing really stupid stuff. And I think you've got to keep pounding them on the head. I really do.
But I don't know that it's doing any. I think it's making.
Oh, it's doing something. It may not be huge, but it's doing something.
Well, I think it's a turnoff, though. Because what I hear from people, because now I go to people and I say, well, now you're not in the $1 million vaccination pool because you haven't got your vaccination. And they see that as a bribe. They see they're trying to get us in there like sheep. I think it's been a very, I'm sure some people did enter because of it, but you know what? I think a lot of people looked at it and who were already skeptical and said, now they're really trying to get us in there.
Well, people that are going to call it a bribe are going to be those type of people that are, have always been skeptical about it, which is, they're skeptical out of ignorance. It doesn't hurt anything. Very tiny, 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 infinitesimal amount of side effects. It has been proven to work 100%. They're just being not very smart.
Right, but what I'm saying is I mean, it is a bribe. By definition.
So what? We bribe everybody? We bribe people to go buy new cars.
We do. We do. But it is. I mean,
you okay.
I don't know. I think you have a serious illness, killed 500,000 people in this country, and we are now looking at a way to get people vaccinated, bribe them.
Yes, we're trying to do something to get ignorant people who are, I mean, I don't mean they're ignorant people. They're ignorant of the facts about this situation. We're trying to get those people to go get their shots. And even if you only get 10 out of 100 to get their shots, that's 10 more people that may not pass it along.
But you know, this reminds me of everything else in life. just like a flu shot, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's my choice to get the flu shot.
Yeah.
I understand the consequences if I don't get it. But ultimately...
No, you don't. Most people don't have any concept. They think, I'll never get the flu.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, that's fine.
Which is ignorant.
Well, that's their business. And they don't... But it's their choice. Just if I want it, I protected myself. I'm done. My hand, I don't know why we are so concerned with other people. I feel bad if they get sick. I feel bad, worse, if they die. But what more can you do?
Yeah, but there's a difference. These people, both the flu shot and the COVID shot, they are spreading it to other people because they don't care. That's the difference.
Yeah, but the problem is we're calling them names. We're saying their IQs are that ain't gonna get them to.
Oh
do
no,
it.
I understand that. But after a while, you get frustrated with watching people back when there was a mandate for a mask. People arguing like happened at your front door of your other occupation.
Right, right.
People screaming that I don't have to wear. I'm free.
What but you know?
You get freedoms from doing as your entire cumulative group says is best for the nation.
But you know the problem with this right now is the cumulative group is not vaccinated.
We're getting close.
I don't know if we'll... I don't know.
I think we're over 50% nationally, aren't we?
I
think so.
Maybe. I don't know. We're certainly not in Ohio.
Yeah, well, absolutely not in Ohio.
And so, you know, I guess the people of Ohio have spoken.
Yeah, and that's my wife and I would move to Canada if we could, but we can't afford it.
So, but I just it's just one of those things where I think you're just going to have to leave it up to people.
I don't think so. I don't think that'll happen. I think that would be nice if people would do that, but it's become such a political thing as opposed to an intelligence thing that I'm not going to get it. That's for all those libs, and that's just stupid.
Yeah, but what I don't understand what can be done.
Keep on trying. Like our president says, keep on working at it. You don't give up just because you get pushed back. You don't give up if you're in the right. And he is in the right, I believe.
Well,
I think our governor is in the right by trying to push this.
Yeah, but I think what's happening is, and it's fine if they feel this way, but the end result is, both of them, And our governor, definitely, is probably not going to be our governor very long because of what he has done here.
Yeah, might not.
Go ahead, caller.
It's me again. I got to get in on this conversation.
Go ahead.
Damn libs.
My wife and I went to a flea market Saturday over at Urbana. They have it at the fairgrounds once a month. Uh-huh. And it, big crowd there that day, right? So in the process of walking through the flea market, I overhear a couple of guys in a booth or a setup outside talking about what a big hoax this whole thing has been. About it was nothing but a government hoax. You know, there weren't, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. I'm not going to get that vaccine. I don't need it. Here now we're all out in the open again. You know, it never happened. It was all political. So I turn around and I say, well, what about the 650,000 people that are dead from it?
Yeah, what did they say?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. But people, like Scott said, people have already made up their mind, and you too, people have already made up their mind that they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it, irregardless of what we do to try to make them to do it. And you're right, Scott. It is a bribe. That's all it is. It's plain and simple. It's a bribe to try to get people to do something that they should have enough intelligence to do on their own.
Yeah, right. I agree with you that we're way past where it's easy to get people to do it, but I think trying is a humanitarian way.
Absolutely! I don't think the government should give up or should quit trying. And if it takes a bribe to get somebody to go, okay, so be it.
And Scott's absolutely right. It's only 46.18 of the national that have had both shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Ohio is, what, around 31 or 32%,
Like
that.
Well, but this is all I'm saying when it comes to this bribe and politicians getting involved who are not doctors. The problem is if you are already skeptical of getting this shot and you didn't get it when you were able to, it's free and you were readily available to get it, that you have just confirmed every one of their insecurities about it. Because now a politician is bribing you with million-dollar lotteries to get it, and it's a politician who you probably didn't like in the first place because he shut the government down on you. So this is a bad way. To me, that is not incentive. If you want to get people vaccinated, let them go in the hospital and see people who are sick. Right. Release the people who are dead. Recite them on the news every night. A politician giving away $1 million sounds like a carnival barker.
Sure, it does. It absolutely does. And, you know, for a long time, we got daily statistics on how many people were dead nationwide and worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
But they've stopped doing that. I haven't seen that recently. You know, hit and miss. Once in a while, I'll catch it on the national news. But it used to be every day, 3 or 4 times a day, it would get pounded into your head. 500,000. You know, 600,000, 650, whatever it is. But you don't see that occurring anymore. Well, but you're absolutely right. It does remind me of a carnival barker trying to give away something for nothing just to encourage people to do what's right.
That's what promotion is.
Well, and I have no judgment on Mike DeWine, but I knew when I saw the clip of that press conference last Thursday when he had him Skyped in the Vax-a-Million during a COVID-19 press conference, mm-hmm. he Skypes in the Vax-a-Million winners. I said, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't good.
Why does that offend you?
It doesn't offend me. Oh. It's just people looking at that are going to say, this is a man who wants to get reelected, which is what people are saying already.
Yeah.
And everybody who doesn't get the vaccine is now saying, look, there's the smoking gun. That guy just is doing that to get reelected.
Well, they're coming out of the woodwork to run against him in the primary. That's no secret. There's already been a couple of people that have strongly announced that they're going to try to run for governor against him in the primary.
We need Patrick Swayze to run for governor.
Something.
Because he's got a nice butt.
I don't know.
I think I might have mentioned this to Glenn. I don't know whether I did or not, or maybe you. I can't remember. But the thing of it is, I understand what he's trying to do. I do understand what he's trying to do. And people are obsessed sometimes with lotteries. But when I found out that and went online to read the information about it and saw the release form you had to sign, where they can take your name in perpetuity, they can take your address, they can take your likeness, they can put it on billboards, they can put it on international TV, I didn't sign up. Well, I can sign up. At least with the regular Ohio lottery, you have the right to remain unanimous. I mean,
anonymous. But look how that was goofed up, though. He goes on television on Thursday and says, "You don't need to sign up for this. Don't worry about it."
Right. Exactly. You're all in.
You're all in.
Right.
And then Monday. Wait a second. And we find out that it's because of a disclaimer, and you just read the disclaimer, which says we can use you in any promotional material.
That's right.
Oh, now come on.
It was annoying. But hey, by the way, I want to go back because I said 46.18% of the people, and then I noticed at the top here it says that's statewide for Ohio.
Oh, so that high.
But that is also only one shot. There are a lot of people that haven't had two shots.
I think for both shots it's somewhere in the 30s.
Now, 3 weeks into Vaximillion, and we've went from 42 to 46. Is this the best way to spend $5 million?
That's not very much.
It slowed down
tremendously, the people that are signing up now.
Yeah.
So, the interest is not there. Well, anyway, what I really called for was to mention what I overheard. And that's not the first time I've overheard that type of conversation. I'm hearing it a lot lately. From people that get together that haven't taken the vaccination and don't intend to and never intended to, that it was all a big hoax and it really didn't exist. Okay, but tell that to the families of those 600,000 plus people that are dead, and look back to the pandemic that occurred 100 years ago and tell that to the 5 million people that died nationwide, not 5 million, 50 million people that died worldwide.
Yeah, I have
happened in a pandemic.
I've saved it, an interview with a gentleman that lived through that, and it's just the people, a family that he knew, they kept taking one of their children out and put them in the snowbank because they wanted to save them.
They doing what they could to try to save them.
Yeah, and then
if they died in the winter, they couldn't bury them, so they had to pack them in ice.
They leave them out in the snow
until they could bury them.
Yeah, and this guy eventually went out and died himself in the snow.
So. And in that particular pandemic, it reoccurred 5 different times. There were 5 waves.
Wow.
Jeez. So we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
All right, guys, I got to run.
Thank you. Okay, take care.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I guess the bottom line of what I'm saying is you talked about this being politicized. I think the most effective thing that would have helped with this is never let the governor do a press conference again, have a doctor.
Yes.
Allocate that time to a doctor talking about medical things when it comes to this. Get rid of this $5 million thing. Just have a doctor come on and tell people. And if they still are not willing to do it, they're not going to do it.
Well, the problem with that is now people are calling Dr. What's the doctor?
Fauci?
Fauci. They're calling him corrupt and a liar.
Well,
they don't want to get the information.
His emails, that wasn't the greatest help to him in the world.
Yeah, but those are a long time ago, the emails.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
And he has admitted that he said that, and then he found out he was wrong. That's what science does. It keeps building upon itself. So people don't trust science, and that's why I'm concerned about the intelligence of our people.
Well, I don't know. You know, I just, people are very strong-willed in the things they believe.
I just don't understand why it became political.
Because the politicians are the ones making all the decisions.
I guess.
Even nationally, who's the doctor besides Fauci? I wish they would have more than one doctor on television.
Oh, they do. Doctor, what's his name? Got the really pretty hair, black. He's on all the time. I can't remember his name. But there are about 3 or 4 of them that they talk to all the time. There's another guy that looks like the old comedian. Anyway, there are, I can picture in my head.
But we don't even know their names, is what I'm saying here.
It's me. I don't know anybody.
No, but
name.
I don't. But I know Dr. Fauci's name.
Yeah.
Because he's front and center of it.
Because he's the one that does most of the talking, yeah.
Right. And in Ohio, I knew who Dr. Acton was. After that,
yeah.
Who's there
Got
been?
Rid of her.
Yeah, but who's there been since then?
In Ohio?
Yeah.
The governor.
Right. Which is why I think people are having a problem with this. Because it's easy for a politician to go and say, I'm not going to get vaccinated and this is all a hoax, when you can blame it on the governor saying it. It would be much harder to blame it on a doctor.
But they're doing it.
But who?
The political parties, the Republicans right now, are saying that Fauci is corrupt, which
right, but I'm
is
saying
nuts.
In Ohio, who has been the spokesperson?
Well, they ran her out, Acton. You know, if you don't like the messenger, you shoot him, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying, but who let her go?
I guess the governor.
And who did he replace her with?
Himself.
There you go.
Well, I'm not a big governor fan. Governor DeWine is not my favorite politician in the world, but at least I think he's trying. And there are some governors that are absolutely not trying. The governor down in Florida and the governor in Texas, they're almost trying to kill off those people. I don't know why. They're so negative about stuff.
Well, you know, it will be what it will be. But at this point, there does become a point that this $5 million thing's going to end. Then what? It's going to end in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing the numbers they come up with. And, you know, I wouldn't, and this sounds like I'm going against my own thoughts, I would not take the numbers that they give you in 5 weeks as the gospel truth, because I think there will be people that will massage those numbers to make them look as good as possible.
Right, but I'm just saying, and I guess it's been my problem with Vax-a-Million, but that's just because we live in this state. Some of the other things other states are doing, I think, are kind of strange.
You mean the marijuana? I think that's great.
But I think that's strange because...
It is strange.
Why are we doing this?
Well, they're given free beer, so they decided they might as well give away free marijuana.
I guess, but I think in the end, something different's going to have to be done.
Well, the people that don't get it will die, and then we'll be done with it.
Well, you know what would fix this? If they... honestly, one thing, if they made it mandatory. Now, people don't want that.
Oh, they won't let that happen. I'll guarantee you that. That
well, I don't know. You got a Democratic... president, you got a Democratic House, and you got a Democratic Senate.
That doesn't mean he'll make things like that, man.
Nobody could.
Yeah, but a Republican could, but right. I don't think anybody in their right mind would make it mandatory.
Well, why not?
They might make it for children mandatory. Like when I was growing up, it was mandatory, especially after I got my polio shot. It was mandatory to
right.
get polio shots to
so,
go to school.
So why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you
make it
mandatory? Politically, it would be
well,
bad.
Then here we. This is why people look at it and they go, "Oh, that's not really about medicine. That's politics."
Yeah, and I disagree with that. And then those who like the idea of getting facts on a daily basis, they all lived in New York, and what happened? Their governor kind of got in trouble, and now he doesn't do it anymore. He was giving a daily report, and I thought that was a good thing. But he quit that in a hurry.
Well, I don't know. I just, you know, when you say that the liberals are getting criticized, if the liberals...
Oh, we always get criticized.
Well, yeah, but if they did something, they're in charge now. And if they did something, they're not in charge.
No. It's a 50-50 Senate, and it's a very slim margin in the Congress, so...
So more, okay, well then here's an even bigger problem.
And the courts are obviously farther to the right.
Okay, well, here's a bigger problem then. If the Congress and the Senate and the President cannot make this mandatory because more than half of each of those groups would vote against it, then how can we say the country is any different? Well, less than half the country is going to get it.
I'm given equal opportunity for ignorant libs, too.
Well, I'm saying, if that's the people you see, and that's the people you hear, and that's what you get, you know, what can you do?
You keep doing little things like our governor has done.
Well, we'll see what happens.
And hope you get a 4 or 5 more people still alive at the end of the year because you did it. Is 4 or 5 people's lives worth $5 million? I think so.
Well, My feeling is I'm going to have to see some statistics that showed that these people would not have gotten the shot anyway.
Because you're never going to get that because you can't get inside their brain.
Right, which is the problem with it.
Well, so you do nothing. You stick your head in the sand and do nothing.
Well, no, because I don't know what will drive it. I don't know what is going to be the driver.
That's why they're trying things.
Right, but how do we know they work?
We don't yet. And I'm not sure that we ever will know positively that they work. It's PR is done on supposition and best case scenarios, you know?
Well, if all I can say is this, if the number had jumped, if Vax-a-Million
had... It was never going to jump.
No, but that's a sign that something works. If you announce a Vax-a-Million and you go from 42% to 70%, you can clearly say...
There is no chance in hell that that would have happened.
Well, then we are never going to get these people...
No, if it goes from 40% to 40.1% and you've saved... four lives, it's worth $5 million.
Well, do we know? We don't know.
No, we're not going to ever know.
But I'm saying when the numbers jump big, we do know.
You don't. You just know that people want the extra $1 million.
Right, which is my point.
Oh, okay. So you're saying, you know they're going there for
the money. Right, I know that they went for the money, and that did work.
Yeah.
But if it jumps a little tiny bits, I don't know if that's working.
Well, I don't really think... That's the way you can judge it, because you do everything you can to save lives. You don't go, well, that didn't work so well, so we'll let them die. I disagree with that.
Well, I don't... I think people die, unfortunately, for... There are people who are just never going to get this done. And I don't know what that percentage is.
The world knows that.
I think we're going to find out soon.
And that's what's called survival of the fittest. Those who are smart, those who are fit, those who care about themselves will take care of themselves. Those that don't, because they want their freedom, I think having people die off is not necessarily a bad thing.
Here comes the break.
Okay.
LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 to 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask